and glorifies the sacrifice of your Son for us. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, wow, that got louder all of a sudden. Sorry. Was I not speaking up again? Is that my punishment for that? A lot of information in this, and I'm going to touch on 5 points in it. Peter's describing an authentic Christian, okay? A faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior. This puts us on the same level as the apostles. That is completely amazing to me. We don't face nearly the trials and tribulations that they were put through and persecuted for. You know, I found it interesting. I've heard people talk about Peter's crucifixion. And I've heard people put it in a very derogatory manner or a strange way because of the way he was crucified. That was Peter's choice. He actually commented that he was not worthy to be crucified or killed in the same manner as his Lord and Savior. So they turned him upside down. That amount of conviction and humility and humbleness is just, it was bewildering to me for a long time. So, but what Peter's talking about here is a confidence and a trust in the righteousness of Christ. This is the same righteousness of God. This makes all of us acceptable to God and acceptable before God. By having faith equal to the apostles and equal to Christ himself, I mean, this makes us presentable before God. Without it, I believe we're going to hear, I do not know you, or I did not know you. This glorifies God by not trusting in ourselves or creating our own self-righteousness. We're all very proud of things that we've accomplished and things that we've done. But we always need to remember to glorify God and remind ourselves and others that those accomplishments were only made available to us by the will of God. So we've all, I guess, made our fortunes or made our marks, but we've got to remember that that was God's plan for us, and we need to remind others of that, no matter how great or small we truly are. It's God's desire. Okay? And I'm going to touch on Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9 here. And this is about us manufacturing our own righteousness. Verse 7 says, But whatever gain I had, I counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Jesus, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. So there again, this is our accomplishments. You know, I'm a great person. I've amassed a fortune. I've made a car company, and that's only because I watched the History Channel last night, folks. But you know, a great example, and this one always comes to mind: Michael's, the arts and crafts store. You ever walk in there, it's kind of a strange place. It's not like any other place that you've really been to if you've been into a craft store. The gentleman that started that actually makes sure that 50% of his profits go to ministry. I believe Michael's will succeed until God deems otherwise, but he is focused in the right area. I think if we do these things in our businesses and glorify God the way we should like that, we're truly going to succeed. But let's take a look at verses 3 and 4 here in 2 Peter. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promise. The next line is what really got my attention. We actually have a connection to the divine nature. Up in chapter 1, we're talking about having a faith equal to the apostles. Think about some of the things that they did, folks. They raised the dead. They healed the sick. They did all the same things that our Lord and Savior did while he was here on this planet. They were given the gift of the same divine nature that is God. And if we are equal to that, where does that put us? We have that same gift. I mean, to me, that's amazing. I'm from the Bronx, folks. I didn't think I was ever going to get that anything like that in my life. But the next line of great, very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Peter is telling us through this faith that we're granted the gift of divine nature. On the small end of that scale, just the open connection of prayer with God. And I'm not saying that that's the smallest one or it's not a gift. That's a wonderful gift. But the ability, through our faith, that we can communicate with God openly and hopefully cheerfully. Depends on who you are. Some people pray out of desperation. Others pray out of repentance. Others pray, what did I say earlier? Twice a day. That's just me. Once in the morning gets me started. Second time, I'm asking for forgiveness. I can guarantee you that. By 4 o'clock, I've got quite the list going. It says, but through, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. This is pretty interesting to me. Peter is telling us that the purpose of God is not only for Christ to offer to God his divine righteousness on our behalf, but for us to participate in his divine righteousness. Christ is not only supposed to represent us before God, but also for us to share in what Christ is. Simply put, Christ is God. He's the Holy One, right? That's just amazing to me that I get to share in that nature. And you do too, just through that faith. What is Peter really calling us to do in chapter 1? Verse 5 starts out, for this very reason. Here's where we get into it. Make every effort to supplement your faith. So, we're to have faith, and then he's given us, let's see, about 7 or 8 things here that are going to help build and hold that faith focused in the right direction. Okay, the first, supplement your faith with virtue. It's goodness, right? Stay focused on what's doing right. Okay? Kind of like the 417, right? 4 hours of a servant's heart. Right? That would be something good to do. Strive with virtue for knowledge. We're going to gain that knowledge through silly people like me sitting up here talking about it, you reading about it, praying about it. Right? This is where our knowledge is going to come from. I won't recommend the guy on TV telling you you have to give him $200 this week or you're not going to heaven. Get it from Scripture. And if someone like me or anybody standing here talking to you about it, hold us accountable. Make sure that we can back it up with Scripture. There's a funny statement that a lot of people use when you talk to them about Scripture. When you quote a verse to them, the very next thing they say is, yeah, but. 66 books, folks. Haven't read that yet. Sorry, I haven't. In any edition. NIV, ESV, King James. I haven't seen a yeah, but. So, hold us accountable. Make sure that that knowledge that you're gaining is coming from Scripture, coming from the Holy Spirit, coming from God. Okay? With knowledge, self-control. Hi, hon. Yeah, that's a big one for me, folks. You heard me say I got to pray at the end of the day, and it's, yeah, that self-control is a little, I've gotten better. I make shorter statements now. I don't blow up like a 4th of July picnic. But we're to have a self-control. We know what God expects of us through knowledge, right? Self-control, simply put, I kind of change that word around a little bit and say self-discipline. Hey, that's me, you know, former military. Everything's about discipline. But when someone angers you out there on the road, if you drive around Springfield, I'm sure all of you do, so about every 3/4 of a mile, you've got plenty to say about the person that just passed you, okay? But there's a self-control there. It's okay to think it. Ask for forgiveness about it next, though, because that's what we need to do. And that needs to come from the heart. Because I just pointed out to a friend of mine yesterday on the phone, actually my son, when you're throwing derogatory marks towards that person, correct me if I'm wrong, but that person was created in God's image. So who are you persecuting and talking bad about? Think about that for a little bit. Hold on to that. That'll keep that self-control in check. Okay? With self-control, we need to look at steadfastness. The other term for this is perseverance. This goes back to the apostles and the trials that they went through. Okay? Peter stumbled right out of the gate, didn't he? He denied Christ the morning of his conviction, right? The morning of his crucifixion, denied him right there. After that, though, his heart was given these gifts, and he received them, and he held on to them really tight. After that, he would never denounce Christ again. He would die before he would denounce him. That's perseverance, folks. When things get bad, Brother Rick and I were talking this morning, and Mark and I have talked this morning, and, you know, the closer we draw to that cross, the closer we draw to Christ, right now we're in a pretty safe area. We walk out that door, your accuser is going to put anything and everything he can in front of you. Okay? Our old military term, there isn't an obstacle we can't overcome, mainly because we have direction, distance, and purpose. Our faith has the same thing. Right? The direction always leads us back to the cross. The distance, whatever it takes. The purpose is to glorify our God. Right? What I tend to think of is I keep my back to the cross, not out of disrespect, but it keeps me focused because it's right behind me and I'm trying to get that ministry forward, out. But that takes perseverance. That takes willing to stand out there in the cold, willing to take the persecution and the ridicule from those that haven't received our Lord and Savior. That takes some guts, right? That goes back to 1 on that 417. All right, with steadfastness, godliness. With godliness, brotherly affection, and I'm going to change that just not out of disrespect for God, but for PC purposes. I would say family affection, right? We have a brotherly affection, but sisters love sisters as well. We're all part of the church. As believers, we're all one family. I've had to correct 4 people this week. 1 in North Carolina, 1 in Colorado, 2 in Springfield. You know, when I talk to people about coming here, this isn't my church. I go to Mansfield Christian. I don't go to my church. Brother Rick doesn't go to his church. You don't go to your church. This is Christ's. We come to a fellowship and a gathering to praise and worship God together. Church is the body of Christ. But yet I hear people all the time, hey, this is my church. This is my church. Well, stay focused and make it God's church. Okay? So I'm going to change that brotherly affection. I'm going to say family affection. Okay, not out of disrespect, because I don't want women to think that they're not as important as men. Okay, we have some men trying to make women think that they're subservient. They're not. Women have an equal standing with Christ. Okay, you have your own personal relationship with Him. Okay? My wife's connection to Christ doesn't come through me. It comes through her faith in Christ and her personal relationship. And I know I got off track, but for some reason that was put on my heart to say. Okay? And with brotherly with brotherly affection, the cornerstone of all of it, love. Love. Everybody's been in a family somewhere. You know, you have single men and single women out there, but they were raised in a family. Love can be kind of a tricky thing. How many times have you ever thought in your head, particularly about a family member? I mean, I have a sister that, oh, bless her heart. Isn't that what we say down south? I don't like her one bit, but I love her, right? Love does not have to equate to liking. Okay? We love people out of care and concern and compassion. Doesn't mean I have to like my sister's character. But as a child of God, I need to love her. What's Peter telling us here in verses 5 and 7? He's telling us to build a life of Christian virtues based on the foundation of Christian faith. He's giving us a list of attributes to add to our faith, a life where we're supposed to pursue and develop a Christian lifestyle. That's almost a bad word to use today, isn't it? Particularly in the media and throughout America. It's almost, it's almost like in the 70s if you said you were part of a gang. You know, people look at you funny now. And we can get rid of that stigma simply by following this right here. Live a virtuous life. What are people going to see in us? They're going to see people with goodness in their hearts. We don't have to have a stale argument with them. Doesn't mean you have to have a debate with them. If I'm talking to somebody and I'm trying to talk to them about Christ, well, I don't believe in them. Yeah, you do. Whether you like it or not, you do. Okay? You can't tell me you don't believe in something if you know what it is. You can tell me it doesn't exist, but it's kind of hard to say, I don't believe in God. Didn't you just admit that there is a God not to believe in? It's kind of strange how that works. So you don't need to debate it with them. Just give them a little nudge with love and tell them, you know what, I'm going to pray for you anyways. You can get angry. That's okay. I don't mind. On the list, we're looking at virtue. That's a moral excellence. That's the same characteristic as God has, isn't it? A goodness. Just, we're being called to display the virtues of the same God that saved us. That, it's just amazing to me. Knowledge. We're called to increase our knowledge of God in His ways. Not in our ways. That's what the Scripture's for. That's what the prayer's for. That's what the Holy Spirit's for. And if all else fails, take a seat in a quiet place and look right there. When all else fails. That's just my opinion, folks. I know I have to do that at least twice a week. I've actually strategically placed them in my house so I can stop at any point and go, oh, help me out. We're almost done here. I'm going to close this out pretty quick. And again, just so you know, Brother Rick, I did wander again. Okay, but I even tried to use color so I wouldn't. So why is it important for us to develop our spiritual lives the way Peter's outlined it? Verse 8 tells us, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to skip that big chunk. But that brings us right back to John 15, doesn't it? We'll get to that in a minute, though. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. This is what our faith does, doesn't it? What was the purpose of Christ being nailed to that cross? Why did God allow that? So all of us are forgiven. That's a heavy burden. If we're building a life of Christian virtues based on the foundation of our faith, then our relationship with Christ is being productive and fruitful. The other end of the spectrum, or the opposite side of that, is a relationship with Christ that's empty or doesn't have any meaning. When you see that in someone, it's an indicator that the Christian character is just not being built up in them. Maybe they never heard 2 Peter chapter 1. Introduce them to it if you see them. Introduce them to it if you're talking to someone that you can see that doesn't know what these important points are: virtue, knowledge, steadfast, perseverance. Why is this important to us? In light of what Christ offered for us, it's pretty important. This brings us to John 15, okay? I'm the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Okay? This is something that we're working on here, aren't we, folks? We're trying to fill these seats. We're trying to be fruitful. We're trying to get out there. Wayne, how many pairs of shoes are you going through in a month trying to get the word out in Mansfield, right? Okay, we've got people getting out there trying to be productive, trying to be fruitful. And it's something we do need to stay focused on. It tells us right here, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Okay? That brings us back to verse 8. John 15 covers that area for us. If these qualities are yours and they're increasing, they keep you from being ineffective. So that brings us back to all the add-ons, as I call them. We have our faith, but Peter gave us some add-ons to help us stay on our path. Our gift for doing all this and for holding fast and persevering in our faith is God's given us the divine power. He's granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Right back to that divine power again. He's given us knowledge of it. It's in the book. It's on paper. It's in your heart if you're praying. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. That is the importance of chapter 1 and those 7 or 8 attributes that he's given us. By holding to all of these and holding to our faith and this kind of sounds narrow-minded, but by narrowing that path that we're on, okay? Right now, I'm a new believer. This is all acceptable. But as I walk and as I learn and as I study and as I pray and I start putting these things into practice, I think Anthony Perkins put it the best way I ever heard it. Somebody was telling him the other day that Christians are narrow-minded. Yeah. Doesn't say we don't love you, but God did not make that path to the kingdom of heaven a 6-lane highway. So am I narrow-minded? Yeah. I'm not condemning people for the lives they live. You shouldn't either, right? You don't condemn them. That's God's territory. Your job's to point out, hey, you know, I'm going to love you as a person. I hate what you're doing. There's that love-hate thing again. But to guide them. And the more we follow these attributes, the more we're going to be led to guide others. It's going to give us a strength and a focus where when we talk to them with the authority that God gives us. By using or taking advantage of the divine resources God's placed at our disposal, we're being urged to authenticate our calling and election. We're supposed to make diligent use of the divine resources or the gifts to help us in building a Christian lifestyle or a Christian walk, however you want to look at it. As some people say, a life of Christian virtue or goodness. Our faith is authentic and genuine, a genuine soul-saving faith in our Lord and Savior. He tells us that without narrowing that walk and using these attributes, you know, we're actually denying our pathway to the kingdom of heaven. You know, I don't know. I started on this walk with Christ, and I watched doors open up that I never would have imagined. I don't think you could shake me off this thing for anything. Verse 10. I know I'm kind of jumping all over here again, aren't I, folks? But my mind's going different directions on you. I'm sorry. Let us know, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. We never want to fall away from Christ. We never want to fall away from God. And, you know, we actually start to do that. I kind of find it interesting. Some people call it praying. The engine's gone in my car. I have no way to get to work. And the rent's due, and my wife's sick. God, why did you allow this to happen? Is that really a prayer, folks? That's kind of pulling away to me. That's our accuser. And the reason I bring that up, like I said, my mind's all over the place with this. That's us being lured away. Okay? That's just one version of it. The other version of it is, hey, my friends are going to Vegas, and last time they went, they won $100,000. Okay, so I'm going to go and try and win $100,000. Still luring us away with something shiny. And I use money as an example because that's one of the biggest ideologies in the world today. Many people measure their success or their self-worth by their bank accounts. Might want to start looking at your fellowship, your family. The larger your family, the richer you are. That bank account's going to go away someday. We're going to go away someday. But where we end up and how rich we are when we get there is determined by this walk. Well, there you go. That's the Holy Spirit leading you because that's verse 11. Got there before I planned to. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, I'm going to go back real quick here. By having that steadfast faith, by having faith itself, is not going to be enough. Just to sit there and say, I believe in God, it's not going to be enough, folks. You're going to get drawn away from the kingdom of heaven. I've talked about this before with Brother Rick and Brother Mark and some of the elders. We do know that Lucifer comes from a divine nature, doesn't he? He can speak to you in an angelic manner. So you could have God's word right here, and his only has to be this far off, and it's going to sound angelic and right. But it's just enough to pull you off that path. Be aware of that, folks. That's our spiritual battle every day. You know, when you're wondering if something's right to do or not to do, your heart will tell you. I would double check it. I would. You know, coming from New York, and I'm sure you've all seen it in the cities here, the person standing there wanting your money on the corner. And we know we should provide for them if we can, but I'm not going to hand an alcoholic $25. I'm not going to hand an addict $10. What do you need it for? You want it for food? Jump in the car. Let's go get something to eat. No problem there. So with our faith, if we can combine trying to stay focused on goodness, learning the Word every day, learning God's will for us, learning God's plan, we know we're never fully going to know God's plan. It doesn't mean we should stop trying. Okay? Most of us are never going to be millionaires. It doesn't mean we stop trying. Okay? Self-control. Again, this is one I've got to be real careful about, otherwise I'm a hypocrite. So, self-control. Perseverance, steadfast. Stand strong in that faith. The media is going to try and beat us down. Later on here, I can pretty much promise you the government's going to try and beat us down too. Okay? I understand I'm to turn the other cheek, but you're going to be pretty hard-pressed to get me to hug a man that's trying to kill me or in his heart wants to kill me. Fortunately, we have some faiths out there in the world that's what they want to do. And they're trying to convince all of us that we're to accept that. We'll leave that one up to God. I'll stop that one there because that's that self-control issue again. So, with the steadfastness, godliness, okay? All of this is keeping us focused on God. That brotherly affection or family affection, very common for us to care for others that we know. Start thinking about those people that you don't know, the people that are put in your path every day. I'm sure everybody here at one point had somebody at work that just got under your skin. Think about that brotherly love instead of the hate. You're looking at one of God's children. You're looking at God. When I see Miss Dot sitting over there, and I see Miss Judy, Sheldon, I see God. We should be looking, trying to see the person that God sees, not the faults. Try and see what God sees. That brings us right back to that love. I'm going to wrap this one up. I went a little longer than I should have, didn't I? So, keep the faith. Stay strong in your faith. Try adding virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection. Most of us believe we have love in our heart, and I think we do. But there's a lot of room for growth in that area for all of us. God's leading me to say something, and I don't want to say it because I'm going to get stoned if I do. I mentioned this earlier to Brother Rick. Well, because I mentioned it to my son yesterday. He fell away from his faith. He stepped back to his faith, came back to where he belongs about 3 weeks ago. He was concerned about his maturity. He was very confused on an issue. If you show up here for 30 years straight, that does not make you a mature believer. That means you have a wonderful attendance record. Okay? And I'm sorry I'm putting this out there because this isn't on my sermon. This is just on my heart, brother. So you can yell at me later for it. It's your growth in the knowledge, the virtue, the self-control, the brotherly affection, the love. It's your growth in these areas that's going to gain your maturity. Attendance just means you showed up. How much we grow is determined by how hard we work and focus on these things. And I'm going to close this out there because anything else may be detrimental to my existence. So, but I want to thank you all for the opportunity for allowing me to come up here. And I truly hope that in God's way, something we've said today reaches your heart. Okay. I do talk to people out throughout the week. Yeah, I'll pastor, I'll minister, I'll shepherd. Never said I was good at it, folks. Just said that that's what I'm led to do. But I can promise you, it's always going to come from Scripture. Okay, it's not coming from my mind. It's coming from Scripture and what God tells me to tell you. At this time, we're going to go over the invitation. Do we have a song for that or something? Oh, we do. We do. So, if you're not a member here and you'd like to be a member here, come on up and take a seat in the front row. And I'd like to say the elders and everybody would like to come up and talk to you as well, so we're not going to put you on the spot. But if you're new and you're just interested in knowing more about God and more about Christ, more about salvation, come on up. He's got a lot to teach you. Notice I said he does. We don't. Who am I forgetting to invite? Any ideas? Mark? No? New believers? Non-believers? Oh, yeah. Everyone. It's that simple. Right? Desire that all should come to the kingdom of heaven. So, let's listen to these wonderful ladies sing again. Thank you for that blessing.
His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior.
Time. It's not always in the way that we want it, but prayer does work. Okay? That's that open connection. That's that divine nature, folks. Notice I can't help smiling when I say that because it's just amazing to me. So we'll definitely be praying. Definitely. How long is she going to be in there, if you don't mind me asking? Rough idea.
A
just thinking maybe a visitation or two wouldn't be too bad either, if you don't mind. Okay. Okay. Is that Cox or Mercy? Cox, okay. So maybe if we get a chance, come up and pray with you together, if you don't mind. If you don't mind. If we come up and visit and pray with you. Okay, good. Hey, I'm just asking. All right, so wonderful. Good, maybe we'll do that. So this is the gentleman that refreshes me every week when I see him. Doc, would you lead us in our closing prayer, please?
Father, again, we just thank you so much for the sermon we heard this morning. And we know what Peter went through to start with and what Jesus did with him. And folks, he can do you the same thing. And Father, today we just appreciate so much the weather we're having here lately. And I know it's hot, but we've had some moisture with it too. And Father, we just thank you for that. And today, Father, we just want to praise you so much for what you've given each and every one of us here, the blessings that we've had. And Father, we just thank you so much for that. And Father, we thank for our health and keep us going. And Father, I would like to just this morning say a word from where the nurses take care of me 3 times a week. And Father, we just thank them for so much for keeping us going. And Father, we know that you love each and every one of us. We just pray that we have a safe weekend for all those that are out working. And Father, that just spread your love more and more and more. And it's all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. And my answer will be yes, Lord.